So we're recording and
Oh my God.
ready? 3, 2, 1. Are you guys getting that?
Yeah.
Ahoy! Oh fuck, I fucked that up so bad. One second.
Dude, wait, I like it.
Ahoy! Welcome aboard Captain Collins Radio Voyage. I'm your host, Captain Collins, accompanied today, as always, by First Mate Moody. What's up, mate?
Hello. How we doing?
Pretty good. And
Thanks.
today, we got a stowaway when we were passing by Ireland on our fair voyage.
Get the bagpipes out. You did.
Yeah, that's the beginning of this conversation today. What's up, Roy? Roy's our
Not much.
guest.
Not much. It's nice to be reunited with the captain. I've known him since before he was Captain Collins, so.
Yeah, we go way, way, way back, me and Roy. I
Thanks for
think
having me on the ship.
you're my oldest friend, I think, of
Wow.
anyone.
I'll take that.
Wow.
I'll
That's
take that.
nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Like 15
Been a
years or
while.
something. Word. All right. So to start off the show today. Oh yeah, I forgot that slide. Oh man.
I was actually wondering. No, we're good.
We're gonna do it
That's
live on
fair.
air.
Yeah, perfect. I wanted to make a point of this, so actually, no, I can't yet. I'll do it during the drinking section. Never mind. Never mind.
Now the listeners are getting some behind the scenes as well. What? Why did I type that in? I just typed in
This is what
Stan shot.
happens when I
I
give.
just typed Stan shot into Google Images.
This is what happens
Was
with
like, wow.
Kieran. I gave Kieran, I said I'm down to do the podcast, like it's a lot of fun. I just don't have time to like be involved in with any of like the preparation or behind the scenes or anything, and this is what it results in.
What happened is that an hour before this, I was like, yeah, I've time to work out and smoke weed before this episode. And
Yeah.
that's why we are where we are now. Anyway,
All
welcome
good.
back. I need to go get my shot glass. So, Jake, take over
Oh,
for a second.
okay. We'll chat. Have you done a stand shot with us before this?
Yeah, I did it
Right.
when I think it was The Dark World when we were watching Thor: The Dark World.
Oh my God.
Yeah, of
So
all movies.
yeah, we did the worst one possible.
Of all movies.
That's
But
so funny.
then we watched, when I was in that same trip, we went and saw Ready Player One in theaters,
Yeah,
and went
that's
to
what
In
I
and Out.
remembered.
So
Nice.
I'd rather remember that than
Yeah,
The
bro, totally. Even with that being said, Ready Player One is like a weird movie.
That's true. That's
Yeah.
true.
I have the poster up in our old house, like for like probably since he visited, for however long that was, we had the poster up. And I didn't even love it. Shame today.
As punishment for my transgressions, I'm gonna take a shot of gin
Wow,
and
dude.
torture myself.
That's crazy.
Okay. To the great Stan Lee,
Yeah.
who
Cheers to
are
Stan,
who
and
are
cheers
who?
to hanging out with Roy again
Yeah,
after
I don't
many
have a shot glass
years.
either, so this is
Cheers.
Thanks.
Clink.
Was okay.
I'm still recovering.
We all drink different stuff, huh? Roy, did you said you had Bacardi?
Yeah, it's all I had really. I mean, I have
Wow.
wine, but like,
Yeah. That's not gonna do.
no. That brings us into our next segment, which goes with a jingle.
Nice.
800-588-2300, Jake's bar today.
Nice. Okay. Well, it's nothing that interesting. I don't know if we were recording when we talked about it or not, but drinking Guinness out of a bottle, weirdly enough, because this is what we have from St. Patrick's Day, as a shout out to Roy. But what I was going to bring up is I was going to complete the like trifecta by drinking whiskey because I know that's an Irish thing, but I have Kentucky whiskey, Kentucky rye. So it's like I'm getting a cultural mixture going on over here. It's like there's going to be like a battle in my stomach between white people.
I think there's going to be a party. Cosmopolitan.
You think it's a party? Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Because we are sponsored by them, obviously. Quarter Horse, like Kentucky Rye Whiskey, is so good. Thing is, when we moved, so actually, Roy, something I didn't say is once I graduated, we moved to a beach town called Redondo Beach, which is like very, very South LA. It's okay. In LA County, but like, you know, it's a solid like half hour with no traffic to get like anywhere like LA related.
Wait, so. Really, really fast, right? Really fast. How, sure. When did you guys meet when Roy was visiting? I'm trying to remember. Was it Ant-Man?
Ready Player One.
Ready Player
One. Oh, right. Okay.
Gotcha. And apparently we watched Thor the Dark World.
That
was my stand shot. I don't think we watched, I think I was only over there once. I don't think
we watched Ant-Man with Fianna, actually.
Really. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, anyways. Oh, so when we moved here, my dad's like housewarming gift was he like set us up with a home bar. So we kind of got like me all the essentials of like, you know, liquor basically.
Yeah.
And he got the whiskey that he got us was Knob Creek, which is great. I really liked Knob Creek. And it was actually the first bottle out of like however many things he got us that we finished, like myself and my roommate, whoever's over. So I went back to BevMo thinking that like I'm going to get another bottle of Knob Creek because it was really good. And this one was like right next to it. And it was like the same price ish. It was maybe like a dollar or two, like cheaper. I think it was like a dollar or two cheaper. But I was like, you know what? Like, I really liked Knob Creek, but why wouldn't I try to expand my palate? And I think I like this one better. So Quarter House Rye.
I don't know if we have that here.
Dude, I've never seen it before. So that's why I got it. Cause I was like, it's the same price as Knob Creek.
It's
so
a cool bottle like, as well.
Like that's what I'm saying. It's just like cool. And then so since my dad set us up with all the bottles, like I got a bar cart and it just looks so nice on there.
Yeah, your tiki bar or whatever.
Yeah, dude, totally. Yeah. So I've been saying Quarter House the whole time. It's Quarter Horse, bro. Just like Quarter Horse.
Wait, so what does the label say? Where is it from?
Quarter Horse. Kentucky Rye Whiskey.
Oh, Kentucky, gotcha.
Oh, it says whiskey on it.
Yeah. But it's a rye.
Interesting.
It's a rye versus a bourbon. And I'm pretty sure the Knob Creek I was drinking was rye. I like rye more than bourbon.
Okay.
What do you guys do?
Bourbon's smoother, I think, right? Yeah,
I think so.
I like bourbon more than rye, I think.
I'm not sure. I was supposed to go to the Jameson storehouse. Like I got it as a Christmas gift with like my cousin's husband, and it was supposed to be me, him, and my uncle, and obviously because of COVID, not running.
But
like, it'll be exciting when it happens.
Yeah, you'll get to do it eventually. Not to derail too much from whatever your topics are, Karen, in the PowerPoint, but I was gonna ask, like, how's COVID in Ireland? Like, what is it like now?
It's
in 2021?
Okay. I mean, we're still in like level five, like which is like lockdown. Because essentially what happened was they did like a level five before Christmas, leading up to Christmas, and then they opened up the like restaurants and like all the retail stuff, you know, like to have like a normal Christmas.
And it fucked
the cases.
Oh yeah.
For weeks. And it kind of still plateaued. And the vaccine rollout has been slightly slow. But other than that, I mean, it's okay. We're like the end is in sight.
Yeah, totally.
We're nearly there.
Sounds like a very similar story, honestly, to what we have going on here, at least in LA.
Are there any like anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers and stuff?
Yes, bro. And the craziest shit, okay? I have I had a professor in first year, and if you go off her like qualifications, she is a very qualified immunologist, right? Like she's worked at like some prestigious places. She has all the degrees for it. We had her in one of the classes in first year, and she kind of took the opportunity to go and like be, so she's not anymore, actually, she resigned, but she's the chair of the Irish Freedom Party, which like they kind of want like Irexit, which is like Brexit which is like so fucking stupid. It wouldn't benefit Ireland at all to leave the EU, like at all. And she took COVID as an opportunity to like promote anti-vax type stuff. So that's been interesting.
That's crazy.
The university like removed all her research funding and like stuff and asked her to step down and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. But
did they do that immediately or was there like a campaign for it?
So a few, there were a few different levels. Like they removed her grants, but she's tenured, so like they couldn't do anything really, except for make her not lecture, like get rid of her as a lecturer. But I mean, I think she's still technically employed. So
someone tell me if I'm like misinformed on this, right? But I think tenure is like super dumb.
No, you're wrong. You're fully wrong.
All right, tell me.
I could not disagree with you more if we want to chat about this, because I was just talking with Dee Dee, my girlfriend Roy.
Yeah.
And it's it's like academia, like people who like devote their lives to research and to like scientific discoveries or anthropology, like culture and things like that. You can't be that kind of person without being a tenured professor, essentially, which is actually a knock on Chapman. Because Chapman doesn't, they much prefer adjunct professors, which you and I both know of our Dodge experience. It was, it was mostly adjunct professors, and they would talk to us about, oh yeah, we're commuting from LA and we also do this thing, which is cool because like, yeah, you're a film professor who's like working in the industry. Obviously it's different with film versus like a science or history or whatever. But when you're an adjunct professor, or sorry, when you're a tenured professor, from my understanding, that means you like reach a certain qualification, like you've been teaching at the same university for X amount of years, where now you've like gained enough clout to where they're gonna fund your experiment, or they're gonna fund your like paper or like whatever it is. So then after you've been teaching for the 5 years, for the 8 years, like whatever it is to be tenured, then you've hit the milestone where like I can go make a discovery of my own, and I could go to Greece and like dig up this statue and spend the year researching it and figuring out like why they built it, why it's important, what god is this, like whatever it is. So if university has like a very strong tenured program, that means they're putting money back into education and like learning more about the world. Where if you're a university which is having a lot of adjunct professors, which is most private schools from what I understand, it's you're just trying to turn a profit because you can just like pay whatever it is, $10,000 a semester, $15,000 a semester to get adjunct professors in here and keep it churning. Or you can commit to this one person's vision. They teach, they like get to know the school culture and whatever it is. And then once they hit the certain amount, then you can like actually go and add to like the knowledge world and like teach people about things, which is like a knock on Chapman and a knock on Redlands, actually, which is the school I went to my freshman year. But I think tenured, part of it is, I was literally just gonna say, I think it's cool. Like the idea that like tenured professors is a thing, that once you hit a certain point, then like, okay, you've proved yourself, now go like do the thing you really wanted to do, which is go find that dinosaur or like go cure cancer or whatever. Like that's a really cool idea. And I guess most private schools in America, from what I understand, don't do that. Where like the public schools, like the big UC schools or like the big state schools, they do because it's state funded. And like, that's the point, to promote knowledge, which I think is
part of it as well is like, it gives the professors some assurance that like, for example, they can research something that might be slightly more controversial,
right?
Where totally. Like they have like that knowledge that they're still employed, or like I don't, to be honest, I don't really know specifics, but I think it does give them some freedom to like write a book about something that might end up being slightly controversial and stuff like that,
which is why the lady you know wrote about anti-vaxxing and trying to get Ireland down.
Yeah, she spoke at like,
so it's an issue.
Yeah, anti like anti-lockdown protests and stuff like that.
Wow.
And she was just saying like some stupid shit. Like I think she said obviously, you know, COVID like really kicked off in March or April last year, whatever.
Yeah.
March. And she was saying, like, up until September or October, that there was only one death due to COVID. And it's like, that's just not true. Like, it's just so blatantly false that it's
crazy.
Yeah, what about when they're assholes?
Then that means the school chose the wrong person. Like, they put their faith in the wrong...
They backed
the
wrong...
They put their eggs in too many, in the wrong basket.
But what about like, the kid who, like, gets the shitty class then, you know? Because for some people that's flippant, but like if you're like super like dead set and you really want to take this seriously and like have a good college experience, like that would suck for how much money you're paying that your professor is just like
fair,
not helpful. Totally fair. Like I had an ethics class taught by a guy who was like a big Trumpy, super alt-right, tried to convince us that climate change wasn't real, you know? Awesome. And that was my ethics professor. So like there are pros.
It's a very ethical thing to do, don't you know? Like
yeah, I think the thing is being a tenured professor or like having that be your thing is more about like the knowledge exploration than being the professor. Like it's more so about writing that paper that's going to make an advancement in like whatever their field is versus formulating a semester plan. Like I think like basically the grind is you have to be the professor and be the teacher and like do the seminars for X amount of years and then you're able to go find a dinosaur.
So basically
that's my understanding.
Basically the argument you're given is that a university is more like the X-Men where yeah, there's the school, but the school yeah. kind of lays in the yes. funds to promote the team.
Yeah, actually, which I think is cool. Like that's the because the thing about Chapman, as of recently, like, Roy, you're talking about this one lady who was anti-vax. And
yeah, I heard you guys had some controversy.
Chapman too. Had a very controversial professor as well. So it's like,
I heard that.
What's the point of being in the news for this? If you've devoted your life to like learning and teaching and things like that, it's like go out and do it. Like write the paper that's going to change the world or like find the cure for whatever it is, as opposed to like doing this for 6 months because that's the gig. That's the thought. Where like school, like UC Boulder, like they do, or I don't know if it's UC, but whatever it is, like they have a strong like program where they can like send people out. That's why I'm saying dinosaurs, because Dee Dee, my girlfriend, is from Colorado and she likes Boulder and her parents are teachers, and specifically Boulder people like go and find dinosaurs.
That came straight like, out of left field. That was the I'm craziest transition I've ever experienced in a rant ever.
And I went to some like some national park that's like literally called like Dinosaur Park or something, and it's just a normal hike. But like, I guess way back. Oh,
that's
in the day,
pretty fucking a bunch misleading.
Of it's got a giant dinosaur. Send the donuts yeah, link.
Dude. Yeah, fair. All right, then, well,
anyways. Send me the donuts link.
The actual donuts link.
Yeah, send it.
Like the short that we made.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it on for a second. But on that on that topic though, right? Like, I do think there should be more accountability though. You know, like that's cool totally and everything. Fair. That's cool. And like, if you want to fund the X-Men, like that's awesome. Go save the world from Magneto. Right. But at the same time, that's no good. If the kids who are being educated, if you have Beast teaching an ethics class, telling mm-hmm. the kids, showing the kids like PragerU as a reliable source, yeah, literally that was that class. But yeah, especially in high school, I think it's dumb. I think we can agree on that.
My I don't know school. If there are tenured professors.
There are.
There are.
Maybe there are.
Oh, yeah, there okay. are. There are.
Okay.
I mean, I get it in the sense that, like, if I've worked at my job for years and I believe I'm doing a good job and I've put in hours and hours of work, like, I do want some reassurance that I'm just not going to get fired at the drop of a hat, you know? Like, they need, like, three strikes or whatever the system is to properly fire you. Like, I get it from that perspective, but... I do 100% agree with the accountability thing.
Like freshmen in high school, like they can be so easily scarred for life, you know? Like that's the thing about it.
Is this from personal experience?
I mean, yeah. Exactly. But I think it is for all of us really, right? We all had asshole teachers. And like to some extent you're like, oh man, they were an asshole. But to another extent, anyone you meet for the rest of your life who reminds you of them, in somewhere mm-hmm. in the back of your head, you're like, this person's an asshole. I feel like this person's definitely an asshole. you know.
Speaking of assholes, the way they treated Sam and Cap's shield.
I was going to say, actually, looking at this poster, not that the listeners can see this, but how they put Cap, like, right in the middle, like, in the star, or U.S. agent, or whatever that character's going to end up being. I didn't, obviously, I figured that the Falcon and Winter Soldier, catch everybody up, was going to be about, like, dealing with Cap's legacy. Like, obviously, he's retired from this point, so how do the two characters most closely related to him, like, deal with that? And then in the next movie that they cameo in, they'll just be able to be themselves. But I didn't realize that it was going to be like that zoomed in, like on, I really liked the first episode. I guess is where I'll leave it. And then you guys continue it on. But I really enjoy it. Like I'm all in, I guess.
I'm super excited for US Agent.
Me too.
Cause he's such a cool character from the comics. I'm always find myself a lot more attracted to like the anti-hero characters rather than the the main like goody two shoes kind of.
I'm not gonna lie, it took me a while, like way past everyone else, to I guess not buy in, but like enjoy Cap as a character. Because to me, he was like that, like exactly what you're talking about. Where it's like,
the
good guy, like just isn't super interesting to me, as an archetype, I guess, but. Obviously, there are layers to that, and there are still ways to make them interesting. But I agree with you, Kieran. I prefer the gray area.
Because Cap almost kind of culturally died at the perfect moment, because now the kind of stuff that he promotes, where it's like truth, justice, and the American way, like that kind of thing, like. You know, America's kind of in the shitter right now, so we don't really want to be like USA. No, that doesn't come off great right now. So he goes away.
So the moral of the story is, come visit me.
That's all. Yeah. But this is kind of like a rehaul. You know, it's sort of like when they reboot Captain America in the comic books to make him more left wing every few years.
Right,
you know,
right?
I love Sam Wilson. I love Sam Wilson, Captain America. And I haven't read anything with Bucky in it, but I liked him in the first episode.
You have read Sam Wilson, Captain America film?
Yeah, I read that when it first came out.
Okay. When was that? Like semi-recently?
I was a senior in high school at the time.
Okay.
So 2017. There was like Sam he had the main title Captain America for a little bit. And then trolls online were complaining so much that that's when the whole it was on weird circumstances, because that was when that whole
he was Hydra the whole time.
Captain America being actually a Nazi kind of thing came out.
Dude, that's dope.
And then they're like, okay, well that's happening.
Like shit like that is interesting.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's cool, but people got butthurt over it, and then they put Sam Wilson as Captain America, and people didn't like it, because it like if you're on a certain side of the fence, you're just not gonna like those comics. Like the first issue kind of deals with issues of immigration, you know, and it's just gonna polarize people, and a lot of their base are sweaty nerdy dudes who have a lot of strong opinions because they lack a lot in their social lives.
I mean, but like am I wrong, or like are Professor X and Magneto not parallels of civil rights?
Right.
Yeah, is that not like comics has always been like progressive?
I mean people aren't, though, you know. They make the efforts, and they're doing it, and like I'm not criticizing Marvel, because they made the comic, and the Sam Wilson comic was really good, but it got cut short because people were complaining too much. They caved.
Meant like, how can you enjoy, I guess maybe they didn't think about it like that, but I don't know.
I from that perspective, though, I really liked it. I like getting more of both of their backstories. They haven't really had characters in the last few movies in like anything beyond just like, we're both war vets and we love Captain America, but he doesn't know us.
That's exactly what I was saying in my conversation with you, Kieran. Like, that's what I'm really enjoying about both this and WandaVision, is that you can explore, like you actually get some characters, like as opposed to, because obviously it was such a planned out, you know, like all the first four phases or whatever were super planned out, so you didn't really get much screen time to develop those characters. But now you actually get a chance to see, like, these people have been through some pretty fucked up shit, so it makes perfect sense for them to be hurting, I guess.
Yeah, totally. I think the thing about Captain America and his trilogy of movies, beyond the first one, which, by the way, I love, the Captain America first movie, I mean, it's not, like, great in terms of, like, a film, but it's, like, campiness and, like, the old school, like, Go America is so much fun to watch. But anyway, but in Winter Soldier, but very much Civil War, it's about, like, I get that it's, like, a silly action movie and Disney made it and it's a Marvel and it's a comic book thing. But, like, I promise you, you too know that, like, there is another layer of, like, it's him and, like, the actual ideals of America versus, like, the politics and the, like, the scrum of the bureaucracy of the actual America. They're going head to head, like, this is what the ideals are versus the bureaucracy. And it's like really fun to watch play out in, like, such a campy way, which is these, like, big ridiculous action movies. And they're, like, 100% continuing it, where he gave the shield up and he's like, I don't deserve this, but it should be, like, in a museum. It should be in the Smithsonian for people to, like, understand what this guy gave. And then they just flipped it right on him, which was, like, totally something that we would do. Like, 100% yeah, yeah. is a real life thing that would happen. And it's like, that's a great launching off point for the show. Because then, I don't know anything about US Agent, his comics or anything.
Yeah, me neither.
That. But whatever missions that the government, whether he's like a 100% propaganda tool, or we're going to see, like, action scenes with him, like, whatever they want to do US Agent to do. And then we cut back to Winter Soldier and Falcon, and they're like, that's not what the Avengers stand for, but the Avengers are the good guys, bro. They saved the world in the last movie. So it's going to be like a head-to-head again. And then we're obviously going to get, like, a voiceover of Steve Rogers, and it's going to be sick. And the thing is, Kieran and I were talking on a previous show podcast where I was like, I just hope that Falcon and Winter Soldier is able to capture, like, the WandaVision is, like, I'm going to watch it regardless just because, like, I've liked enough of their things. But, like, it had another hook of, like, a really good mystery. Like, I really don't know what's going to happen in the next episode. And I love the theories and, like, I'm all in for it. And after the first episode, dude, Falcon and Winter Soldier got me, because it's like, they're going on the same vibe, which, like, Winter Soldier and Civil War did, which is the ideals of America and what Captain America stands for versus the grossness of the government. They did it in one shot, and I'm all in. Like, it could be the dumbest show moving forward, but, like, just because they have my brain, like, thinking about that, all in. I can't believe they're able to make such good stuff. Honestly, I can't believe it. It's so good that it's not even fun anymore. Like, Snyder Cut was fun because it's kind of surprising. This is, like, I should have expected it to be dope.
Well, it's like comic books now, you know? You just read it and it's kind of the same thing every time, but it never gets old, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm honestly, like, I'm surprised by that based on my first reaction when I saw it the first time. I really liked it, but when I was watching it, I was like, after WandaVision and all the crazy theories and ideas and people wanted this to, like, explode the universe, I'm like, there's no way they're going to take to, like, a much lower scale thing as Falcon and Winter Soldier, which Falcon and Winter Soldier is not low scale at all. But in comparison to WandaVision, it is, because WandaVision is so, like, cosmic. But that's, I agree. It's super well made. It's really good.
Realistically, though, like, I mean, I felt the same, and I was, I mean, obviously when they did the Evan Peters stuff, you're just like, okay, like, clearly they're, I mean, it was a bait, obviously, but
yeah. Wait, really fast, fast. Okay. Roy, give your full take on WandaVision. Just to refresh
I loved it. I loved the first half of it more than I did the second half, but I still enjoyed it a lot. I can't really say that this was the point that I was making. I can't really say that I was, like, disappointed in the fact that it wasn't as necessarily big or, like, as impactful to the greater universe as, like, people had gotten carried away and hoped for, because realistically, like, for the not necessarily the average moviegoer, but for, let's say, a Marvel moviegoer, like, Wanda can only really get, like, she can only change so much as a character.
Yeah.
And, like, next movie appearance will be, like, oh, she improved as a witch. Or, like, she has an outfit change, you know? Whereas, like, if you were to make any really big changes and you have it exclusive to Disney Plus, I don't think that that would necessarily go the best for Disney. I don't know. Maybe not.
I agree with that. Well, it's because they planned it out prior to the pandemic. So this show would have just been like a fun thing to watch on the side, right? But we've been starving for content. So when this show comes out and they're going to hype it up like this, it's like, oh my God, like Marvel's back. Like, obviously they're going to like have some kind of universe expanding bit because they've been waiting this long. But in reality, that wasn't the plan.
Like, but yeah, but it was also the business deal with Fox, like that's mm-hmm. the Fox acquisition. So like people kind of read into that, and the fucking the bait. Oh my God.
The Pietro thing was dumb.
It really rubbed me the wrong way, honestly. The boner joke rubbed me the wrong way. I wanted a like.
Ahoy! Back.
Jake, can I get a McMuffin?
Sure, I guess. Is that's oh, there you go.
Wait, what's McMuffin?
From donuts, bro.
I was watching it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, nice. That's all right.
Cool. Boner.
So, Jake, did you play a lot of PlayStation 2? Oh wait. First let's continue WandaVision talk. You were saying about something, Jake.
I thought about it when the Zoom link broke, and I just think basically I like it. like my one trepidation, which is when we talked last time, I hope they give me a reason to care. Like, I'm gonna watch it regardless, but I hope there's like a hook of like some air of a mystery or like something I'm just like really excited for. And they did it in the first episode. So I'm all in. Like, it could completely dovetail, or it could like shoot up to the moon with like excitement and like universe breaking or changing like things. That I liked it.
It's just contained. Like, I mean, I think Zack Snyder's Justice League is fun and great, and I really enjoyed it. But it's big and bombastic, and not everything has to be that.
Spoilers.
Huh?
Okay.
Wait, did you not watch it?
Not yet.
Did we say anything about it?
No.
Okay, yet. Good.
Thank
okay.
God though, because I would have started talking about it. I didn't know you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I was super busy last
week. No, I was just saying, like, as a point, like that's like the representation. When you do see it, it's the representation of like, it's like 300, right? It's like just for the sake of big kind of. Because it's supposed to be epic. But like, WandaVision's cool, and like people thought it was gonna distort reality, and do I wish it did that? I do wish it kinda like did a bit more, but I also understand why it didn't. And with that in mind, going into Falcon and Winter Soldier, that kind of makes me probably enjoy it more. If WandaVision had been as fantastical and crazy in its finale as people thought it was going to, Falcon and Winter Soldier probably would have been like a super kind of low follow up to that, you know? But
yeah,
it's a contained narrative, and I honestly thought that people were gonna be like, oh man, just the usual Marvel stuff, not into this. But people seem to be having good reactions to it, mostly probably because they're very content starved right now too. Mm-hmm. But it's good in addition to it actually being good, and I'm excited. There's a lot of characters we still haven't seen, and the two of them haven't even met up yet, so
I know, right?
Yeah, actually, so, my girlfriend brought up that point. She was like, I actually kind of like that, like, because they weren't really friends. They were just both like friends of Cap. So like, mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense that, I mean, obviously in the therapy scene or whatever, she asked, oh, like, you know, or we find out that Sam has been texting Bucky, which is like on brand for both of them. But it makes perfect sense for them not to really be super tight.
Right. Yeah.
No, you finish, because what okay. I was going to say is going to finish.
I mean, the inspirations for it are really interesting. I saw a thing where the guy said that he credited a French movie called The Untouchables as one of the biggest inspirations.
I want to watch that because I've been watching. I don't know if either of you have seen. Oh yes, you go for it. Take it.
Lupin. It's so fucking good, dude. It's so fucking good. I want to go to Paris so bad.
It's really good. That's on my watch list because Omar C or whatever is in that. So.
Yeah. No, the same thing happened to me. I watched Lupin, and then I saw that movie in a French class like a few years ago, and I was like, we watched it over like three class periods, and we like didn't appreciate it at all because it was on a shitty projector on like a whiteboard, you know. But when I apparently it's really good, and so I will go back to it, and I fucking loved it. It was great. But it's like about one. It's about a dude like Omar Sy, like a guy who's kind of like down on his luck. And he just wants to go into this job interview and get them to sign his form saying that he didn't get the job so that he can get his unemployment money, right? And when he goes in there, the dude he meets, it's like a job for assisting somebody who's in a wheelchair and paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh.
So the guy likes him because the dude who's paralyzed gets pissed off when people kind of baby him too much. And Omar Sy's character kind of like gives him some shit while helping him recover. And sort of like understand life and stuff. So with that for Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's going to be really cool because you can totally see that in the first episode that Bucky is like, Bucky has no identity whatsoever because most of his life has been spent brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And Sam has his own issues, but he is at least kind of with it in terms of his life and his priorities in order. So they can help each other out, which is cool.
I agree.
Yeah. Also, another
agree.
Another thing too was like Man from U.N.C.L.E. Have you guys seen Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No, bro. I've always wanted to though.
Yeah, Man from U.N.C.L.E. is like already inspired by kind of the original show it's based off of, which was like in that generation there was a spy show called The Avengers. There was Mission Impossible, which is the original TV show the movies are based on. And then there was like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a big TV show too. And they were all sort of that same premise of like, or the Man from U.N.C.L.E. specifically was that premise of like it's the American and the Russian who have to work together during the Cold War to solve international crimes. They don't like each other when they first pair up, but they're effective together. It also had that kind of a vibe to me too, which is cool because it is a spy show, you know? So it's kind of a reinvention of the classic spy show as well.
Totally a spy show. What I was going to say is, so Roy, you watch WandaVision and you watch the first episode of this show, but you didn't watch the Snyder Cut.
Correct.
Wow. So you, that, so it just shows your allegiances. I mean, I 100% agree. Like,
it's also like a 45-minute episode versus
100%.
But the Snyder Cut is secretly a TV show.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
100%. Yeah, because I'm going to say for the listeners at home, if anyone's listening to this podcast, it's only a 4-hour movie because contractually they would have had to pay all the actors more money if they had split it into a miniseries. So it's in chapters because those chapters are supposed to be episodes.
Yeah, and I support anybody watching it over taking long breaks or even like over the span of a 2-day thing. Like it's like a great weekend activity, honestly. It's a lot to do it in one sitting. Like dare I say,
but also
like,
I kind of want to see, like I want to see what the pacing is like as a movie.
It works. It's got a non-traditional act structure, but like it's paced well. Rather than having three acts, it kind of has six acts and they're split up very like episode to episode to episode kind of. I mean, you'll see, but it works. It's cool. It's TV show pacing. It's like binging a TV show because you can do that with the modern audience nowadays.
Exactly.
People are used to watching things like that, watching like one episode, then the next episode, then the next one, and like cliffhangers at the end of each one, but you just move on to the next episode. Whereas like in the days of like Casablanca or like classical cinema, it was very kind of auteur and you'd go there and movies were supposed to be a certain runtime, unless they were like really extravagant and great like Casablanca. But nowadays you can do whatever the fuck you want because people are watching all kinds of stuff on streaming, you know?
Totally.
That's what kind of like I'm not like a super like huge Zack Snyder fan. I enjoy his movies, but I also like I can criticize them in some ways. But what I think is really cool about Justice League is just that like it's so weird and non-traditional in its formatting, and I want more movies like that. I'm so sick of every movie having the exact same structure, and like you can kind of see the patterns in all of them. Whereas like weird stuff really takes off. That's why people love anime. That's why Roy loves, you love BoJack Horseman. That's kind of an example of that too.
Yeah, you know? That's a great show. But I mean, to be honest, I'm just more drawn towards like character driven writing and stuff like that, as opposed to plot heavy. I mean, like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, BoJack, like all those shows are pretty character heavy as opposed to plot heavy.
Yeah. Golden Age television.
Yeah, but speaking of weird and non-traditional movies, I watched Sorry to Bother You the other day, and that shit is...
Oh, cool. Yeah, dude. That's a crazy movie. I didn't... Well, Kieran, did you see it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, so spoilers are all out the window if anybody is listening. But, dude, I saw it in theaters, and I didn't like it. I was like, this is weird. I saw it with my brother, like, when he was still in high school, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it got good reviews online. Like, it was like the weirdest. It was the weirdest movie. It's something I guess I should go back and revisit. But like, it really, like, honestly, rubbed me the wrong way.
No, Jake. Here's the weird thing, right? When they go to the weird sex cult, right? The character who runs the sex cult is played by Armie Hammer.
Oh God, no!
And the he's an eccentric billionaire, which like dude. Coming from his family with the surname Hammer, I'm sure he was self aware enough to pick that role, right?
No,
like,
it was a joke in the movie. Isn't there a joke about the hammer? There's something about him being called like the hammer.
Okay, I might have
like
missed that. I might have missed that.
There's something in there got to do with hammer. I think if I remember correctly, it's been a while. For
I didn't
me
know.
Too.
That's funny.
But it's a
That's
great
funny.
Movie, really. And Tessa Thompson's the love interest in it.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. The cast is great.
And David Denzel Washington, David Washington. What's his middle name again? John David Washington? Is that it?
Yeah, I think yeah. so.
Yeah.
But he from Tenet, he's the main guy in it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So they've all gone on to great things since then, and it makes sense because it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just a great I remember watching it and like feeling embarrassed I brought my brother. I was like,
to be fair, dude, like that's a weird movie to be like, dude, oh, I've heard from movie. People that it's a good movie. Like that is like a weird, like, you know.
Yeah. But Jake, you know, like animatronic monsters in it like halfway through. I'm like, what happened? I had no idea this is what it was about. I straight up thought it was gonna be like super bad. Just like a comedy about like work day, like some weird thing.
Yeah. A black guy moving up in the corporate world.
I thought it was just going to be like like jokes like, oh, you smoke weed? Like, I thought it was going to be like that. I had no idea what was coming.
So good.
How old was Ben?
When I saw it in theaters. So whenever it came out, I was probably, I would guess I was a freshman or maybe a sophomore.
Okay,
maybe
so,
2017.
Okay. So wait, freshman in college you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see when the movie came out. I would guess 2017.
2018. Okay. But I'm not sure.
So was it got to do with Ben? Just like you were like, oh man, my kid brother, this might be too much.
I mean, there were like fucking horse people with huge dicks.
Yeah. You know? No, but it's weird. But also, like, do you guys remember, how did you guys, do you ever see Sausage Party?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I distinctly remember seeing that in theaters with all of my high school friends who were like super conservative and stuff, and we went in there and we're watching the movie, and in the end I'm gonna spoil Seth Rogen's Sausage Party. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, well, okay.
Right. I got it.
If you haven't
seen
it yet, Roy, then it's fine.
It's fine. You're not gonna. I don't think it's like.
I mean,
that
to be honest, I wasn't really holding out on that.
Yeah. So the last 3 minutes of the movie is a giant orgy with a bunch of food, right?
Yeah.
And
very low hanging fruit.
Yes, exactly. And it's very graphic, although it's food, so it's not technically graphic. It's like suggestive. Yeah. It's extremely suggestive. And we were in there watching it, and all of my friends were so uncomfortable. And I had just gotten back from like Northwestern, like high school film institute thing where I was like, it was like film summer camp. And so I was with all these filmy people, And I was like, that was the first time when I was like, what the, I was like, this is weird, but this is good as fuck, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
And like, same thing happened with Aquaman, right? Jake didn't like it, or not Jake, Ben didn't like it, and you were like, eh, I don't know.
The exact same thing
happened. Yeah.
Aquaman, so
it's
like, it's a pattern, man. Like, I was just like watching it, like, okay, this is not what I expected, but like, it's, you know, I was just watching it. Like, I hadn't really made an opinion yet. And he leaned over to me and he's like, why are there dinosaurs in this movie? And I was like, yeah, like, why are there dinosaurs in Aquaman? And then from that moment, I just decided I didn't like it. And I don't think I've seen it since.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Because it's like, if it's weird,
fault, apparently.
Yeah, don't you wanna write weird stuff and not have people turn their brains off as soon as it gets weird?
Dude, I don't know. Dude, well, first of all, I haven't thought about writing in a long writing.
What about like, okay? But what about Scooter Bros though? Scooter Bros, how about that?
Well,
one?
Dude, what I was gonna say is I think Roy said it, I think you said it. Like, I'm over like the traditional structure. Like, I like weird things. That's why I'm into anime and whatever. I'm the opposite. Like, I like knowing that like there's like if I follow these rules, it's a story that like works. And if I'm able to like plug and play, it's just technically like three act structure, hero's journey, like gonna work. I thought that was cool. I thought it was really cool. So whenever I sit down to write something, it's been a long time.
But like for everything though?
Yeah, I think about it really hardcore like that. I really do. And when I'm watching movies, I think about like, oh, this must be like that, you know, act two turn, or this must be the midpoint. Like I always think like that.
I see like a little bit of the act structure right now in terms of like I'll have my act one, act two A, act two B, act three, right? I'll split it up like that. Beyond that though, it's kind of like I'll observe the hero's journey and that kind of thing the best I can. But like aside from that, it's like I'll go a little bit off the rails. But then once I learn how to do that, because I've only written one feature. Like in its entirety. So once I properly learn how to do that, then that's the point when I want to go off the rails. Because I think our training wheels are still kind of on right now, you know?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
100%.
So, like, if you, like, it's kind of like if you write, eventually you'll get so used to it that you don't even need the structure anymore. That's what I want to see in terms of content. Because I want to see stuff beyond just, like what I understand and the act structure and that kind of thing, that's really cool. But like in cases like Zack Snyder or like Christopher Nolan with Tenet, you know, or Tarantino with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where there are few examples because they're very like prolific filmmakers. Beyond just them, I want to see like more showcasing of artistry, you know, as opposed to just like it's got to have the correct pitch, you know. Yeah. I want to see like I'm going to go see this movie because it's a movie that they found this really great director from the indie scene and they put a bunch of funds into the movie and made the movie, which with streaming, I think you can work that a lot better because people don't have to pay for the individual movies. So they'll be more inclined to, if you really promote something like that, they'll be like, oh, who's this person? And then you launch like the right people into the industry kind of, you know?
I think so too. It's just, but when I watch them like organically, like they just rub me the wrong way. Like I just like feel, I literally feel weird watching them.
I feel like for example, the thing that started this conversation was sorry to bother you. I think if you went into that with the knowledge of like Boots Riley as a person,
if you did a little bit
more research into like the fact that it's about class and like I mean, obviously it's not subtle that it's anti-capitalist, but like, still, I feel like if you went into that from a more, like, now that you've had the hindsight of seeing it once and like you don't have the shock value, I feel like you would appreciate it more.
But I also think, I think the life experience, I think like how you think for you when you're a freshman in college versus how you think now, gotta be like two entirely different brains, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
You were still with Mia then.
Yeah,
it was a different time.
The thing is, when I go into movies that I know are weird, like I'm just thinking of Miyazaki movies, Studio Ghibli movies, I still don't like them. Like, I'm like, I know it's going to be weird. And like, I know it's going to like, I'm going to see like animated blood, which Kieran, I think that's very true. When I see animated blood, it's probably just an automatic turn off. But like the story structure is different. Like it's very non-traditional. I know it's going to be like that going in. And the second it starts happening, like 15, 20 minutes in, like when the weird, when it starts derailing from what I imagine, it's like, it's so hard for me to stay invested because it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work with my brain. Like, I just don't find it engaging. I get more confused than interested.
Here's my pitch, right? Roy, have you seen Cowboy Bebop yet?
No.
Here's the pitch, right? Watch Cowboy Bebop. Because first of all, Cowboy Bebop inspired BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, must watch. It's all inspired by Neon Genesis Evangelion, but like, that's more heavy into the anime turf. So in terms of starting out, Cowboy Bebop is the perfect transition anime because it's a TV show, so it has violence. Sure. But if you watch enough episodes of it, you slowly start to get used to the Japanese structure as opposed to the US structure, and then your brain kind of connects the dots, and from there you can start kind of going more deeper into it. And you can go into stuff like Neon Genesis, or when you're watching a Ghibli, you're now used to the animated blood and used to their differences in formatting. And so it's more, it becomes like a new cinema, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like going to an alternate dimension and checking out what their Hollywood is like, you know? Cause it's just,
man.
They were so cut off or so.
I have seen like actually a handful of Cowboy Bebop, weirdly enough. I've seen like an episode or two with you. Is there a movie? A Cowboy Bebop movie?
But you watch that at the very end after you watch all the episodes. It's like the Entourage movie.
Okay. I think I've seen a handful with you and with Michael. Like I've probably seen like at least five episodes.
But here's what I'm about that show specifically, because it's a network TV show, and with all network TV shows, the pilot doesn't always hook you, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts, the first few episodes are really good. They're really good when you watch back on them after you've already seen the series. But as a pilot, like first three, four episodes, it does move very slowly. But it's entertaining. It's like, it's very episodic for the first like four, and then episode five and episode six is part one and part two, and it gets like it really kind of turns there. And then once you see that, that's enough of a motivating force to go on. And the biggest motive to watch it is just that, like, there's so many scenes in it that are so complete. Like every single scene is perfect. That's why people love it so much, because they've rewatched it over and over and over again. And it like it stands up to the test of time. Every time I watch it, I notice something I didn't see before. You know,
wow.
Like Fight Club. If you've seen Fight Club, Fight Club's like that. I call that the Fight Club effect, because every time I watch Fight Club, I learn something new about Fight Club. You know?
Yeah, that's a movie on my list. I really want to see Fight Club. Still haven't. I know the twist, unfortunately.
Have you seen it, Roy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, not for some time though. I do. That's a movie I need to rewatch. Actually,
it's really, really good. I've seen that many, many times. Anyway, PlayStation 2. Jake, did you play the PlayStation 2 ever?
I had a PS2, but I played Ratchet and Clank like at friends' houses. I never had it, but I'm really in the platformers. Like, I played through Mario Odyssey. Like in about a week, I played through the whole story, and I would guess I probably like 60% of it, maybe close to 70% of it, because I like went back and did like the side stars or like whatever it was. But I really like platformers, dude. Like they're just like a lot. They're probably my favorite game genre. I would.
They're kind of like Disney movies. Is Ratchet and
Clank a platformer?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
dude, straight up, they're like Disney movies.
Yeah, because Ratchet and Clank, when it came out, they always used Ratchet and Clank to show off the graphics. That was kind of why they kept the franchise going. And they used to advertise it it used to be like, this looks like Pixar. And it didn't really, because it was, maybe it did at the time, because it was like PS3 era and the Pixar graphics weren't good. Right. And it was like that uncanny valley where there's a little bit of a shine, but not quite. But with the remastered versions, gorgeous. Really, really pretty graphics too. It's like a Pixar movie. It's great.
I don't think I ever actually owned a Ratchet and Clank game.
Really?
I could be wrong, but most of my memories were with you, like playing it with you. So I feel like it was at your house.
Okay. Yeah. You had the Sly games, I guess.
Oh, what?
That was because I used to play Sly at your house. That was how it
Fantastic.
Went.
Fantastic.
As I'm gonna give backstory to this, right? Growing up, me and Roy were, I don't know if you know this, Jake, right? But me and Roy were gamers with a capital G, right? We were like gamers extreme, gaming is life. Whole
Man,
thing.
I remember one of my earliest memories at your old house, Kieran, was on Club Penguin when you would fish. When you got to the end of that fishing scene, you could bait out the big fish if you kept a fish on the line.
Did you ever play Club Penguin, Jake?
Of course I did.
So okay, the mini game where you're fishing and you're trying to catch as many fish as you can. At the end of the game, totally. If you keep one of the fish on your hook, you catch the really big fish.
So what happened was Kieran was telling me, he's like, oh, like, close your eyes. Like, yeah, I won't let you see this, like, cheat, this hack, this secret fucking whatever. And that was one of my first memories, or not one of my first memories, but like one of...
That is so funny.
It stood the test of time, and I just, you know, peaked, and I remember seeing it, and I was like, oh, that fucker! He didn't tell me.
That is so Kieran, dude. You're the same person.
That's hilarious.
Same vibes.
I was such a dick.
So good.
The other thing I remember, because Club Penguin, that was huge when we were younger. But I remember one time there was like my neighbor, she came over and she was telling me I got 1,000,000 coins on Club Penguin. And I was like, how'd you do that? And she's like, there's this glitch, these kind of hackers that can go in and they can do it for you. And I was like, okay, sounds cool. And so on Club Penguin, there was like some shady website, and I put my login information, and I was a member. Like, it had my credit card information and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't think of that because I was a kid, and I put my account in, right? The next day, I get 1,000,000 coins in my Club Penguin account. I shit you not. Wow. And I never heard anything of it. I was a kid, so I assume nothing happened in terms of like my parents being hacked or something like that. But
that's nuts.
Nothing came of it. It was all good. I got 1,000,000 coins like I needed. And then I never Club Penguin. I became a god in Club Penguin at that point, because I didn't have to play the mini games anymore. The economy was destroyed for me. I had like I had like the like whatever like is higher than diamond, the like Kryptonian credit card, you know, because nothing was too expensive for me ever.
Totally.
It was great. And then I got boring eventually because there was no motivators, and I left. Actually, the motivators became just the other people on it. I like had friends on Club Penguin.
Who you flexed all your fucking Club wardrobe Penguin. And all your couples.
No, literally, yeah.
You just buy the best stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. No, I'd go through the wardrobe catalog and I'd buy everything in the wardrobe catalog. Every single thing.
Wow.
So my wardrobe was stacked.
Big baller.
I had hundreds of clothing items in there. I could put on whatever I wanted to put on. Maybe that's why I like fashion now. Maybe it's from dressing myself on Club Penguin as a kid. That checks.
That's funny.
That does check.
That's funny.
All right. Do we want to look at these list of PS2 games?
Go for
it. Let's see what we know and what we don't know. We're pulling up right now the Metacritic list of the top 10 PS2 games of all time, according to Metacritic. You guys see it, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go from the bottom.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. How far does it go? Oh, man. It goes past 10. Okay, cool.
Wow. SSX3. What?
Let's go. Let's go from 50.
Oh, my God. From 50.
Okay, 50. MVP Baseball 2004. I'm going to go through them really fast. Stop me.
Ignore that.
One.
That ESPN, that NFL 2K basically is like legendary, because it was the last football game that 2K made.
Number 49, ESPN NFL 2K5.
Mm-hmm. Score of nine.
People still compare it to like the current Madden, like Madden 21, and like randomly like the 2K5 is like better in this one specific thing. So it's pretty
surely
funny.
That's just like nostalgia.
Well,
there's no
EA
way.
Sports sucks, bro. EA Sports like fully sucks to the point where that game is like has reached like legendary status, but besides the point.
48, NBA Street Volume 2.
I don't know if I didn't play remember that.
Number 47, Ratchet and Clank.
I feel
Commando.
Like I did have that. I feel like I did have that game just because the cover like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did because I remember like they all had sexual innuendos as their names. So like this one is called Going Commando. I don't remember what the second one is
funny.
Called. The third one is called Up Your Arsenal. That's what it's called.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
funny.
Great. Weird. They're really funny games too. But yeah. So that's a great game. That's the second one. The first one's just called Ratchet and Clank. That makes sense. So It's Ratchet and Clank, then it's Ratchet and Clank Going Commando, then it's Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal. And then after that, I believe they stopped the sex puns because it became a major franchise at that point. Right. But the original three, that's where it's really at. Tony Hawk's Underground, I had this game.
All the Tony Hawk games are so fun.
Yeah, this was like my Tony Hawk game as a kid. That's probably why I like punk music, because of Tony Hawk's Underground. They had Black Flag on the soundtrack. There's a Black Flag song I really like, and I listen to this, and I think, man, Tony Hawk's Underground. That was a fun game. Number 45.
I don't know if I owned one. I remember playing them, but I don't know if I owned a Tony Hawk. I feel like I should just go back and look through all my PS2 games and see what.
Yeah. 45. You guys ever play Eco? Number 45 is Eco. That was that studio that did like Shadow of the Colossus, and there was that one game, The Last Guardian, that was like for ages going to come out, and then eventually it did, and it wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember that.
They were really cool. They were like, I forget what the studio is called. It's not on the screen in front of me right now, but they were like, they're like a really good Japanese studio. Number 44, World Soccer winning 11-8 International. What? That's crazy. That's a crazy name for a game.
Yeah.
Madden NFL 2005.
Classic.
Dead or Alive, Hardcore. We got 10 minutes left. NCAA Football 2003. There we go. Shadow of the Colossus is sad as fuck. Because you spend... The plot of this game is that you're like an adventurer with a sword. And you have to... You made a deal with the devil. And you're like almost wife on the day of your wedding day. She gets killed, and the devil comes to you, and he says, I'll resurrect your wife if you kill all of these giant monsters of nature. And you go and you kill them, and every time you kill them, they're not fighting you. They're just existing in nature. And you have to go and you attack them, and when you kill them, like, they fight back when you start attacking them. But like when you kill them, it's like really, really sad. And you have to fight all the shadow. And then at the end, it's like, yes, you got back your beloved, but because you destroyed nature, the world ended, essentially.
Right.
So crazy. Like really kind of existential stuff. Super cool. And then they were like really kind of indie and just like a Japanese title that was like, it's not crazy graphics, like they're good, but it was like an indie kind of studio in Japan. But it hit huge international success as well, because it's just good. Number 39, Twisted Metal Black. Number 38, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. You guys ever play Metal Gear Solid?
I never played any of them.
I never played it. I mean, we were just too young for it, I think. Oh, here we go. Ratchet and Clank, Up Your Arsenal. This is my shit as a kid. Because it had a multiplayer mode. It has like split like couch co-op on it. And it has these big maps, and you have like two sides, and you have a bunch of bots. And so you're kind of going to war against each other. It's like a simulated space battle. And it's cool. I'd run around as a snowman with a laser gun. A lot of fun. Wow. Would recommend. I don't know this game. Number 36, Clonoa 2, Lunitia's Veil. And it's strange that it's on this list because it looks like a Sonic ripoff. But yeah. 35, Madden NFL 2001. 34, Guitar Hero.
Wow.
The classic. 33, ESPN NFL Football. 32, Guitar Hero 2. 31, yes. Final Fantasy X. 30, Final Fantasy 12, right? 39, yeah. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. I always wanted to play those, but I never did when I was a kid. But they're really good. Yeah. 28, NHL 2002. 27, SSX Tricky. 26, Soul Calibur 2. World Soccer winning 11-7 International. Virtua Fighter 4 Evolution. NFL 2K3. World Soccer winning 11-6 International. Okami. Anyone? That's a good one.
Don't know.
SSX3. SSX. wait, you know? Game. Do you guys know? Wait, there we are. Did you play SSX?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny, because the only way I know SSX is in The Sims. When they start playing video games, they start playing SSX. And I never played the actual game, but I just knew it because that was the in-game game within Sims.
I remember playing
friend's house, and it was just so fucking sick. Like, you, like, every time, like, it didn't matter what I did or how many times I've played it. Like, anytime I did a trick, I'm like, oh, they're fucking sick.
Yeah, man, 100%. I just love those kind of games. Like, if it's a skateboarding game, if it's a snowboarding game, a skiing game, it's all the, like, games I have on my phone are, like, snowboarding related. I played, like, literally all the SSXs. They were just so much fun. They're just so cool, in my opinion.
Did you play Tony Hawk at all?
Yeah, I preferred the skate games. I really like Skate 3. I sunk a lot of hours into.
Yeah, I like those too. It's the same thing where it's like, no matter what you do, you're like, that's sick. You fall on your ass and you're like, man, but that was a great trick before I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, 18, God of War 2. Burnout 3. Takedown. 16, Virtua Fighter 4. 15, God of War. I never played God of War. I was just too young for it at the time.
Yeah.
Generations moved on.
Supposedly great, though.
Yeah. Number 14, NCAA Football 2004. 13, Metal Gear Solid 3. Substance. 12, Madden NFL 2004. 11, Madden NFL 2002. 10, Devil May Cry. I want to play that. Because now I realize, looking back, that it's a metaphor for Dante's Inferno. Or it's a very, like, it's a very obvious one, because the main character's name is Dante.
Yeah, and
his twin brother is named Virgil. And I didn't realize the Virgil connection. I thought he was just named after Dante. But then I realized, because he's named Virgil, it's like, okay, I see.
There you go.
But Dante was the writer. Dante wasn't even in Dante's Inferno. He's the writer of it. But with Virgil, that confirms it. So I need to play that. And it's like a hack and slash, but also a platformer, because every game was a platformer in the PS2 era. Yeah. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, number 9. 8, Madden NFL 2003. 7, Gran Turismo 3, a spec. I never got really into those realistic racing games at all.
Me neither.
No, there was one I remember having as a demo. Do you remember fucking demo discs? I remember having, I don't remember, it was like Spy Hunter, or I can't remember what it was actually called, but good ass game. Or demo, good demo.
I remember enjoyed playing the demo. The glory days of GameStop was that, like, I got my PS2 the year the PS3 came out, so I was able to get all my PS2 games from the bargain bin at GameStop.
Yeah, it was totally
great. You know, you could just hop in there and just, like, it was like an arcade almost. You go in, you spend like $3, and you come back with like a full, like, 50-hour game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
100 plus if it's Japanese. but, like, I couldn't get racing games. Just, I guess I'm not a car person. I think that's really their main demographic is not really people who are really into games, but rather people who are really into cars.
Yep.
All right. Number 6, Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Never played it. Too young at the time.
Me neither.
Number 5, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. 4, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. Resident Evil 4. Grand Theft Auto 3. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Where the fuck is Bully, though? Bully is
Matt,
so good.
Where the fuck is Sly?
Let's see where he is.
Sly Games and Bully.
Yeah, Bully is the shit.
Robbed.
Here, let me find Sly. He's got to be here some. Wow, no Sly.
Well, you have a typo.
Oh, there it is. There
you
it is.
A typo.
Do yeah, I? I can't see it. Oh, okay. The thing was blocking. There we go.
Okay,
so previously, Raymond are pretty good. That's number 58 there. But that's not... Okay, so Sly 2 Band of Thieves is number 81. Would you say that's the best Sly game?
Honestly, I don't really fully remember enough to rank them. But
I think I like the third one the best because there was the couch co-op where it was the police lady versus Sly.
Cops and Robbers.
We used to play that all the time. That was really fun. Yeah. Yeah.
What a set of games.
Honestly. I mean, PS2 was just like the best console because it was everything. It didn't really have a competitor at the time. The Xbox kind of gave up as soon as it started because PS2 outsold them so much. And then they came back in force with 360. But initially, PS2 kind of had the market to itself, and that made their games mucho good. Very, very good. All right. Let's talk about St. Patrick's Day. But the thing's going to end in a second. It's going to end, so I'm going to stop it here. I'm going to stop it for an intermission, and then we're going to talk about St. Patrick's Day. Do you need to go, Jake? Okay. Do you have to go?
No, not really.
Okay, cool. Roy, are you good? You awake?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm cool. Good.
All right, awesome. So break, and then we'll come back. Peace. St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I got thoughts on this holiday, but first, Roy, I'm curious what yours are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty enjoyable day for the most part. You spend it with friends or you spend it with family, one or the other. But, I mean, it's definitely more of a thing in America than here. But at the same time, it's pretty wild here as well. So
really?
It's kind of weird how much America celebrates it, though. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like 1/4 of July in celebration of, like, hell yeah, aren't we so great? That's not enough. The people who have a little bit of Ireland in their blood need to have another holiday where they go, wow, we're extra great because we also have genealogy from the specific island that a lot of people came from because it went through a horrible potato famine and a bunch of immigrants came over to America. And
where there was actually enough food.
and where they were highly discriminated against, but then eventually gained respect in society after the election of John F. Kennedy as President of the United States, following the Kennedy family going more into office and Irish rights being more pushed in the government, which led to people, as a general whole, liking Ireland more. So the question is, there are a lot of Irish people in America, but like, why don't we have like holidays for all the other places people are from, you know? Like, there's so many countries people are from in America. Anyway, that's my bit. That's my rant.
That's cool. I didn't really think much of it other than my roommate Preston really, really like St. Patrick's Day because he, as a kid, grew up doing the, like, oh, I gotta set the leprechaun traps and all that kind of stuff. And then also when I visited you in Chicago, your parents were like, yeah, we don't really do St. Patrick's Day, it's more of an American thing. But then we still did go out to dinner and like celebrate the day.
So that's my parents' issue. They don't see it the same way
like,
I do.
I mean, Irish people aren't gonna like turn down like a if you're giving them the day to celebrate, they'll celebrate.
What I really wanted to say is at work, basically like my job all revolves around whatever account it is will give us like 30-ish products that they want to promote for the month, whether it's a new movie coming out or just, you know, a new comic line or like whatever it is, but it's just, you know, a bunch of t-shirts or Legos or whatever it is. So then it's like myself along with a couple other people's jobs to come up with the posts that will like work well for the products, right? And we think about, you know, however many content buckets we have. Anyways, I brought up on like a call pretty recently, like, because we were concepting for May or brainstorming for May. And I was like, oh, it's Cinco de Mayo. So like, we should think of something for that. And then someone was like, I don't really think we need to. And then the other lady, I guess, was like, yeah, actually when brands promote like Cinco de Mayo, it's kind of tone deaf because like real Mexicans don't really care. Like it's an American thing. So it's like pretty similar to what you guys are saying. It's just like, it's basically just an excuse to drink and it's really anything cultural behind it, I guess, which is fine with me because we still get to drink. So it's like, I think it's just for fun, right? Same with Cinco de Mayo. Like it's just for fun.
America has way too many holidays, I think, you know? I think it's
less holidays?
But it's a lot of celebration of, like, aren't we so great, you know? And it's, like, as opposed to, like, that doesn't better the world as a whole. Like on a small level, it's like, yeah, they're fun and stuff, right? But in this zoomed-out scale, like, it's reinforcing this idea that, like, you're special and that you're better than all these other places, which leads to America being this annoying powerhouse in the world.
I'm gonna be honest here, I think there are many other things to get at before St. Patrick's Day contributes to American superiority. Like I agree, I get what you're saying.
But just with the original thing where it's like it's the 4th of July isn't enough. We have to make a whole national holiday to celebrate a country that's like thousands of miles across.
Well, that's Independence Day. 4th of July is a separate Independence Day.
So there's three of them then. So what you're telling me is there's three of them. And then there's also, I mean, they're Hallmark holidays, you know, like St. Patrick's Day is St. Patrick's Day because it sells greeting cards like Valentine's Day. And I like those holidays, but I do think the Hallmark association with them is obnoxious and shouldn't be reinforced and be like, oh, that's fun. That's great. Like,
fair.
Like, don't
be
obnoxious.
Take it too seriously. You can't feel like it's, at least I would assume, you can't feel like it's an actual cultural moment, because it's not, from what I understand. Like, real Irish people, like, St. Patrick's Day isn't a proper thing. It's been, like, capitalized on by companies, right, in America, and same with Cinco de Mayo. But it's still fun. Like, it's objectively,
I mean, people,
still
people
fun.
People here will still, like, meet up with people for, like, a drink. Like, it's right, not like right. It's, like... But I get what you mean, Kieran. But I feel like there are bigger fish to fry in terms of, like,
but, like,
Americans'
don't
superiority.
Don't people usually who are going to meet up for a drink on St. Patrick's Day, wouldn't they just meet up for a drink on Friday night anyway?
Yeah, not necessarily. No, it's different. There's, like, a different buzz.
All right. Cool. I've made
same
my
thing
point.
Here. It's the exact same thing here, except they just make the river green in one city. It's the same thing, basically, and we drink a specific thing. Like, that day, like, people pretend like they like Guinness, basically, for like one day out of the year, and then it's just like, it's just fun. But also,
yeah, but like the leprechaun trap, right?
Yeah,
that's incredibly problematic, dude.
Why?
Because it's like, do you? I mean, I don't want to use any like unsavory examples or anything, but is there any other culture in the world where you can say, oh, if you leave this thing out, then they're gonna come and grab it or whatever, right? Or like a
it's like a myth, you know, it's a mythical thing. It's like,
but
a
people,
yeah, I don't
people
know
don't
problem.
People don't see it.
Weird.
A girl looked at me in the eyes in first grade when my mom came in to bring in some like baked treats or like for like a craft thing, and she looked at me and she said, "Kieran, I thought your mom was from Ireland." And I said, "Yeah, she is." And she goes, "Why doesn't she have red hair?" Like, yeah. Like a lot of people don't do the research to know that, like, oh, those are like, not they're,
she
they
was
know,
a first
they know,
grader.
They know, no, but they know they're there mythical creatures, right? They know they're mythical creatures, right? But at the same time, like, people think that that's what Ireland is, you know?
Because it's like, easy to market.
Yeah, but like, it's a country, dude. It's not something to market. It's a place where like a lot of people live. You know, it's not part of America at all. You know,
a lot of people in America are from Ireland.
Yeah, like, but people also feel like they can just kind of like super like make fun of Ireland and stuff, right? Like for St. Patrick's Day, or so much so that it's a holiday, right? Making fun of it, it's 100% fine, right? That's fair enough. That's just humor. That's,
I was gonna
that's
say the opposite.
Part of the fun,
no
right?
One's making fun of Ireland.
No.
Like,
but the holiday,
is
the holiday
like,
is,
oh, that's a cool place.
The holiday is
so
far more. The holiday is far more harmful though, because it creates the idea that all Irish people are alcoholics, or that all Irish people, if you are an Irish person, that you have to drink a lot excessively, right?
This
because
country
you're Irish,
does have a problem
right?
with alcohol.
And,
like,
but in St. Patrick's Day reinforces that, because the point of the holiday is to drink, right?
That's true.
And
no,
people
that's true.
People of Irish descent who have Irishness built into them and stuff, like, it encourages you to drink a lot, right? And that's not necessarily good behavior. And it also promotes an idea of Irish people as being drunks, which, like, Ireland wants to be treated with respect in a world scheme. It doesn't want to be treated like it's goofy, you know?
Fair. I mean, who am I to tell an Irish person how they're supposed to feel about St. Patrick's Day?
I mean, Roy's got far more cred than I do. I'm not really Irish, but Roy's lived.
No,
there
you.
For
I
a
mean,
while.
You both your parents are. I'm only half.
Yeah. I was born and raised in the USA though. So anyone you talk to in Ireland wouldn't say I was. So like, you're more than I am though, because you went to college there. So I
totally get where you're coming from. Like, it's really not, especially compared to like American celebration. But I don't know. I feel like there are definitely bigger issues in terms of the way Americans view themselves in the world than St. Patrick's Day. But I do agree that,
but
like,
from the Ireland position though, rather than the American position, because America has a fuck ton of problems. But that doesn't mean like the little problems don't affect specific little regions and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So we've been boarded. There's
wow.
a pirate.
Wow.
So that means
not expecting that.
That means we gotta wrap up this voyage today. So thank you so much.
That's a plot twist. We have to fucking deal with this shit. We don't have time to wrap this up. We gotta go.
All right. I'm deciding if I should just cut it. No, I'm gonna do. Okay. Thank you to our stowaway Roy. Thank you to first mate Jake Moody.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully my addition to the ship has been a valuable one, and I provided some value to the journey.
Absolutely.
And yeah, thank you for 100%.
Having me. And now we're disembarking you, so we're saving you from the pirates. Well, me and Jacob.
You're fucking me into the water. What do you think?
that's exactly what we're doing. me and Jake are gonna fight the pirates. And by next week, or 2 weeks from now, probably, maybe on Monday, maybe on Wednesday, we'll be back and we'll do another voyage. Until as then, always. Walk the plank.
See ya.
Okay, cool.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Well, Roy, it was really fun catching up with you, bro, honestly.
Yeah.